Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, March 3rd, Pope Francis calls for an end to violence against protesters in Myanmar. The church in Iraq is preparing for the Pope's upcoming apostolic visit to the nation. And in his catechesis at his weekly general audience, Pope Francis reflects on prayer and the Holy Trinity. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis today renewed his appeals for an end to violence against anti-coup protesters in Myanmar. The Pope also called on the military junta to release political prisoners and allow the country to continue its journey towards democracy. As Devin Watkins reports, his appeal came on the same day that police killed at least 9 peaceful protesters.
Pope Francis once again lifted his voice in support of the people of Myanmar on Wednesday in the wake of a deadly crackdown on protesters. Security forces have killed at least 30 people participating in pro-democracy marches since the military coup on February 1st. Lamenting the deadly clashes, the Pope called on the ruling military junta to stop the violence.
Desidero richiamare l'attenzione delle autorità coinvolte.
I wish to remind the authorities involved that dialogue prevails over repression and harmony over discord, the Pope said. He also urged the international community to ensure that the aspirations of the people of Myanmar are not suffocated by violence. May the young people of that beloved land be allowed to hope in a future in which hate and injustice give way to encounter and reconciliation, he said. The Tatmadaw, Myanmar's military, seized power in a coup on February 1st, detaining many political leaders. Aung San Suu Kyi, then the state councillor, de facto leader, and a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, was arrested and faces several charges, including causing fear and alarm and illegally possessing imported communications equipment. In his appeal, Pope Francis called on the military junta to release political prisoners and take steps toward restoring democracy.
Ripeto, infine, l'auspicio espresso un mese fa.
I repeat my appeal expressed 1 month ago, he said, that the journey toward democracy undertaken in recent years by Myanmar might be renewed through the concrete gesture of the liberation of political leaders who are currently incarcerated. I'm Devin Watkins.
In the run-up to his apostolic visit to Iraq, which is scheduled to take place from the 5th to the 8th of March, Pope Francis has asked the faithful to accompany him in his journey with prayers so that it may bear fruit. As Linda Bordoni reports, the Pope was speaking during the Wednesday General Audience.
Dopodomani, Dio volente, mi recherò in Iraq per un pellegrinaggio di 3 giorni.
The day after tomorrow, God willing, I will go to Iraq for a 3-day pilgrimage.
Da tempo desidero incontrare quel popolo.
Pope Francis added that it has been a long time. He has had the desire to meet the long-suffering Iraqi people and the martyred church in the land of Abraham. He said that together with other religious leaders that he will meet during his apostolic visit to the Middle Eastern country, another step will hopefully be taken to nurture fraternity amongst believers. He asked for prayers to accompany him, he said, so that this journey may unfold in the best possible way and bear the hoped-for fruits.
Perché possa svolgersi nel migliore dei modi e portare I frutti sperati.
Finally, he recalled how the people of Iraq had wanted to welcome Saint Pope John Paul II, who was never allowed to make the journey because of security concerns. And he said, one cannot disappoint a people for the second time.
Non si può deludere un popolo. Per la seconda volta.
Pope Saint John Paul II, in fact, had expressed his desire to visit Iraq several months before the start of the Great Jubilee of the year 2000. But the papal journey never took place, and of all countries with a biblical history, Iraq has remained the only nation in the Holy Land not visited by a pope. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Meanwhile, preparations are going ahead in Iraq for the Pope's arrival on Friday. This will be Pope Francis's first apostolic visit abroad in 15 months as the pandemic has limited his movements. Pope Francis's 33rd visit abroad will begin in the capital Baghdad, after which he will travel south to the holy city of Najaf to meet the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, a leading Iraqi Shia Muslim. For Iraq's small Christian community, the highlight of the trip will be the Pope's visit to the north of the country, where thousands of Christians in the area were killed under the rule of the so-called Islamic State between 2014 and 2017, and hundreds of thousands more fled their homes in the face of violence and persecution. Here he will visit the cities of Erbil, Mosul and Karakosh to meet people who are trying to rebuild their communities and churches. The Pope will return to Rome on Monday, the 8th of March. Iraqi Cardinal Louis Raphael Sarko, Patriarch of Babylon of the Chaldeans, told Vatican Radio Stefano Leszczynski that something has already changed in the nation.
Before the arrival of the Pope, something is moving, changing. You know, many Muslims are preparing posters and with some words, and also others are speaking in the television saying, "Welcome, Pope Francis, and we are happy to welcome you." And yesterday I met a Muslim lady. She told me, "This visit of the Pope is the last hope for us. This is very great." So something is changing and moving inside the Iraqi society.
Do you think Iraq could become an example of reconciliation in the Middle East?
This is a hope. Everyone is now ready to make, you know, the first step. Even the Iraqi government is preparing the, you know, the visit, but also religious authorities, Muslims, Sunni, Shi'i, and Christians, of course. Even the population, I will say the population is much more enthusiastic in preparing, waiting, or expecting this visit.
That was Iraqi Cardinal Louis Raphael Sarko, Patriarch of Babylon of the Chaldeans, speaking there to Stefano Leszczynski. Last-minute preparations are well underway for the Pope's upcoming apostolic visit to Iraq, and for many, the Pope's visit is being viewed as a symbol of hope for a country that has seen thousands of Christians forced to flee their homeland fearing persecution. Maha Ghani is a former Iraqi migrant and refugee who now devotes her life to supporting refugees in her role as a humanitarian consultant. She spoke to Lydia O'Kane about her hopes for Pope Francis's journey.
When I read that he was going, it just caused a glow in my heart. And I could just foresee the mutual glowness of excitement and hope throughout the Iraqi Chaldeans, whether in Iraq or they're outside of Iraq. I think the timing is a bit tricky. Obviously, with everything that's going on, we do fear for his safety. But in the end of the day, I think it's a call, and I know if that's what he wants to do, then he would do it, and we just keep praying for his safety.
Yes, you're right. I mean, it has come at a difficult time with regard to also safety-wise, but also the global pandemic as well. And it shows, how, I suppose, how much he wants to go to Iraq. With that in mind, with regard to the Christian community there, what do you think it'll mean for them? Because we've seen in recent years that the Christian community there has diminished quite substantially.
I don't think it actually means for Christians. I mean, when you think of religious sites, the first thing that probably people that comes to their head is Jerusalem, Rome, Iraq. Iraq is so rich with so many different sites, and you know, we have the oldest prophet Abraham, and it's related to all three religions. So I don't think it just means for the Christian Iraqis. I know it will definitely restore hope and give them a sense of, I wouldn't say stability, because it's going to be something that they need to work on for a long time. But for sure, it just gives comfort to know that they're not forgotten, that they're there, and to also open dialogue with the other religions, which is what His Holiness has always been about.
That was humanitarian consultant Maha Ghani speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. Education for more than 168 million children worldwide has literally come to a standstill, with schools closing for almost a year because of the COVID-19 lockdowns. Furthermore, around 214 million children globally, or one in seven, have missed more than three quarters of their in-person learning. These are some of the findings of a new report released by the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, on Wednesday. Robin Gomes reports.
The UNICEF report entitled COVID-19 and School Closures says that 14 countries worldwide have remained largely closed since March 2020 to February 2021. Two-thirds of those countries are in Latin America and the Caribbean, affecting nearly 98 million school children. Of the 14 countries, Panama has kept schools closed for the most days, followed by El Salvador, Bangladesh, and Bolivia. As we approach the one-year mark of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are again reminded of the catastrophic education emergency that the world lockdowns have created, said Henrietta Fore, UNICEF executive director. With every day that goes by, she noted, children unable to access in-person schooling fall further and further behind, with the most marginalized paying the heaviest price. We cannot afford to move into year two of limited or even no in-school learning for these children, she said, and urged that no efforts be spared to keep schools open or prioritize them in reopening plans. According to UNICEF, school closures deprive majority of school children worldwide the scope of interacting with their peers, seek support, access health and immunization services, and a nutritious meal. The longer schools remain closed, the longer children are cut off from these critical elements of childhood. The most vulnerable of them could even be forced into child marriage or child labor. I'm Robin Gomes.
And finally, returning to Wednesday's general audience, Pope Francis in his catechesis says that it is thanks to Jesus that we have access to the Trinity through prayer. Christopher Wells has more.
It is Jesus who opened up heaven to us and projected us into a relationship with God, Pope Francis said at Wednesday's general audience. The Holy Father is continuing his ongoing catechesis on prayer, focusing this week and next on the relationship between prayer and the Trinity. It's thanks to Jesus Christ, the Pope said, that prayer opens us up to this immense sea of God as love.
Al mare immenso di Dio che amore.
There are no obvious reasons why humanity should be loved by God, or why he should hear our prayers, the Pope said. He noted that throughout history, people have seen gods or divinities as distant and uncaring, unconcerned about human affairs. It is only through Jesus that we have the courage to believe in a God that loves humanity, the Pope said. We see the love of God in the parables of the merciful Father and of the shepherd who goes in search of the lost sheep. But Pope Francis said, we would not have been able to conceive or even comprehend such stories if we had not met Jesus. It's through his life and his willingness to die for us that Jesus shows us the extent to which God is our Father. We cannot comprehend the mutual love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And without Jesus, we would not have been able to begin to understand that this divine love would expand, landing on our human shores. Quoting the Catechism, Pope Francis explained,
La santa umanità di Gesù è la via mediante la quale lo Spirito Santo ci insegna a pregare Dio nostro Padre.
The sacred humanity of Jesus is therefore the way by which the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray to God our Father. This, he said in conclusion, is the grace of our faith. We truly could not have hoped for a higher vocation. The humanity of Christ has made available to us the very life of the Trinity. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories and to hear this broadcast as a podcast, please be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Mario Scattone in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.